If you'd like to follow as I bring my message today in the Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to be speaking from Romans 10, verses 12 through 17. Romans 10, 12 through 17. And the subject, my subject today is faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, one of the great preachers of the past, John Flavel, said he could sum up his message, the gospel he preached, in this way. He said, there are five things of which I'm absolutely sure. There are five things of which I'm absolutely sure. The first of which is this, that all spiritual blessings which the living God has purposed and provided for the sons of men is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Every blessing, every spiritual blessing that God has purposed and provided for sinners is in Christ. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 1, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. That's where the blessings are. He wrote again in 1 Corinthians 1, of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Him. Mr. Flavel said this is the first point. All blessings and mercies which God has for sinners is in Jesus Christ. Nothing outside of Christ, all in Him. Secondly, these spiritual blessings are ours by a union with Christ. In other words, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things to Him. Christ is the vine, we're the branches, and the branches draw all their nourishment and life and strength from the vine. Without the vine, we're nothing. Cut the branch off from the vine, the branch is dead. The life is in the vine. He is the head, we're the body. He is the heir, we're joint heirs with Him. You see, it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. So all spiritual blessings, everything God has for a sinner, is in Jesus Christ. And it becomes ours. It becomes ours by a union with Him. He's the heir. We're joint heirs. He's the vine. We're the branches. Now watch the third thing. Mr. Flavel continued. He said, this union with Jesus Christ is ours by faith. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our Lord said to the centurion, all things are possible to them that believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God, he that cometh to Christ, must believe. He must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So this union, all the blessings that God has for a sinner, all spiritual blessings, are in Christ. And they're mine by union with Christ. And that union with Christ is perfected and accomplished by faith. I must receive Him. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege, to become the sons of God. To as many as believe on His name. Now, fourthly, this saving faith, which unites us to Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of God, this saving faith, which unites us to Christ, comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. Paul wrote in Ephesians, in whom you believed, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul wrote, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So this union with Christ is perfected and accomplished by faith. But faith comes only by hearing. And that's what we're going to talk about in a few moments. But the fifth thing, and this is equally important. Are you with me? Mr. Flavel preached many years ago. God used mightily in England 200 years ago. Wrote many outstanding books. He said, I could sum up my message, my gospel, with these five things. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. That's where they are. And those blessings become ours by a union with Christ. It's in Him. And that union with Christ is accomplished, perfected by faith. We must receive Him. We must believe Him. We must trust Him. We must come to Christ. Come to me, and I'll give you life. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. And that coming to Christ, that faith, is accomplished by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel. But all the preaching in the world, and all the reading, and all the witnessing, and all the efforts to know the living God are to no avail unless Almighty God, by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, except God, by the Holy Spirit, make the word effectual. Now, I preach, but in order for you to be profited, I must preach in the strength and wisdom and power of the Holy Ghost. You sit out there and listen, and you hear this word, and you've heard, some of you have heard it many times. But that hearing has got to be anointed by the Spirit of God. You see, Christ said this. They murmured against Him. They said, well, this is the carpenter. This is Mary's son. We know his mother and his sisters and brothers. How does this man know these things? How does he say he came from heaven? And our Lord looked at him and said this, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And they shall all be taught of God. He that hath learned of the Father and heard of the Father cometh unto me. And that's what I'm saying. The preacher and the hearer are shut up to the mercy of God, for salvation is of the Lord. God's got to make it effectual. So as I preach to you from this text, look now at my text, Romans 10, verse 12 through 17. Let's remember these five things, that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. They're ours by a union with Christ, and that union is by faith. And that faith comes by listening and hearing what I'm preaching and what the Word of God says. But we're shut up, you, I am, you are, we're shut up to the power of the Spirit of God to make it effectual. He's got to reveal the truth to our hearts. Now look at Romans 10, verse 12. And let's ask the Spirit of God to take the message today and make it effectual to your heart and to mine. Romans 10, verse 12 begins this way. It says, there is no difference. There is no difference. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, we labor to make a difference. We try to make a difference between people. But the Scripture says here there's no difference between you, me, the listeners out there, people. We try to make a difference based on nationality. But actually, the Scripture says God has made all nations of one blood. I know people of different nationalities, different colors, different traditions and customs and backgrounds, but actually every one of us can trace our beginning back to Adam. That's where we came from. We're all of one blood. That's what the Scripture says. There is no difference as far as nationality is concerned. And then we try to make a difference based on morality. Some folks seem to think that they're better than other people, you know. They're more pious than other people. They're holier than other people. I remember a newspaper article that was in our paper not too many months ago. Remember when the famous baseball player Pete Rose was before the judge, and the judge sentenced him to 5, 6, 7 months in some kind of halfway house or something like that? Well, it so happened that he was going to send him to Ashland, Kentucky. And they interviewed one of the guards out at the Ashland prison, the institution there. I don't think they called it a prison, but the institution. They interviewed one of the guards. And they said to the guard, "Are you going to ask Mr. Rose for his autograph?" And the guard indignantly looked at the interviewer and he said, "Why, no, no. He's not one of us anymore. He's one of them." Now, we try to make a difference based on morality. But let me tell you something, friend. There is no difference. Nationality, morality, education. I know a lot of people are lifted up with pride over their education, over their degrees. I went to college, you didn't. Somebody else went to further in college, got a master's or a PhD, and doctors and lawyers and professional men. They try to kind of look down on us country hicks, you know. And they feel a little superior and maybe think we're inferior. But let me tell you something now. Will you listen to me? There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we try to make a difference based on riches. Some people have more than others. Live in a finer home, drive a finer car. What do you have you didn't receive? If you received it, why do you brag and boast as if you didn't receive it? Some people make a difference because of strength or beauty or something of that nature. It's all pride. That's all in the world it is, pride. And you know what pride is? It's one worm bragging on another worm. And that's all we are, wiggling maggots. That's what the Scripture says, worms in the sight of God. There is no difference. Did you hear that? Now, that's the start. And like I said a while ago, everything God has is in Christ. And we're in Christ by faith. It's ours by union with Christ. We're in Christ by faith. And faith comes by what? Hearing. And the Holy Ghost has got to make this effectual. And everybody to whom the Holy Spirit doesn't make it effectual is going to be mad at me right now. But now, if the Holy Spirit is taking this message and applying it to your heart, you're not mad. You're saying, "He's right. He's right." And it's not, "I'm not right." The Word of God's right. I'm not trying to be consistent with myself. Somebody said one time, the man that tries to be consistent with himself will find himself in the end consistent with a fool. Well, I'm just trying to be consistent with the Word of God. There is no difference. Whomever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, whatever you know, in the sight of God, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, between the male and the female, between the rich and the poor, the more moral or less moral, the superior or the inferior. There is no difference. Now, watch the next line. For the same Lord, over all, and over all in power and might and sovereignty, over all, He made all for His own purposes, is rich unto all that call upon Him. Now, that's good news. You see, there's no difference in two main areas. There's no difference in us, and there's no difference in the mercy of God. There's no difference in us. We're all sinners. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. I remember preaching several years ago, and I made this statement, "You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner." And a man listening to me got angry and turned the television off. He said, "I'm not a sinner." And he went over and sat down in the chair in the living room. In a few minutes, he got up and turned me back on. He said, "Maybe I am a sinner." Maybe you are. There is no difference. All have sinned. But now here's the other area in which there's no difference. There's no difference. Thank God. Thank God. There is no difference in the mercy of God. He is rich in mercy to all who will admit their sins and call on Him for redemption in Christ. He's able to save an old religious Pharisee or Mary Magdalena. He's able to save a Saul of Tarsus or a harlot. He's able to save a drunk or a drug addict. He's able to save all who call upon Him. You see what I'm saying? There is no difference. There is no difference. Do you hear that? There is no difference in you, in anyone else. We're all sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All have sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. If any man say he hath no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. If any man or woman says they do not sin, they make God a liar, because he says that we all do fade as the leaf. Even our righteousness is a filthy rags, but he is able. He is able. He's rich in mercy to all who call on him. The hymn writer put it this way: come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you wait till you're better, you'll never come at all. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. There's no difference. There's no difference. All have sinned, but thank God there's no difference. The Lord, the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that'll call upon him. Call upon him. Now verse 13, listen to this. For whosoever, now that's a wide word, isn't it? Whosoever, Jew or Gentile, male or female, old or young, rich or poor, boy or girl, that's me, that's you. Whosoever, can you believe? Can you see your need of mercy? Can you call on Christ? Whosoever? I'm glad God didn't put a nationality there or a name there or some special group there. He just says whosoever. Now look at this word. Here's an easy word. Whosoever shall call. There's nothing here, nothing said of working, laboring. Nothing said here of payment. What was it somebody told me just a short time ago about someone who was very, very sick, about to die, and they said, well, I'm prayed up and I'm paid up. Nothing said here about praying up or paying up. It says, whosoever shall call, just call. Anybody can call. You can call without even uttering a word. Hannah prayed to God without saying a word. You can call. Isaiah said, just look. Just look. And the New Testament is full of examples of people who felt their need and felt their inability and felt their unworthiness, and yet they turned to Christ Jesus and they called. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And he did. The publican in the temple, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he was. The thief on the cross turned and said, Lord Jesus, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he did. How about you? There's no difference. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call on him, for whosoever. Whosoever. That's a wide word. That reaches down to Pikeville, up to Parkersburg, and over yonder to Moorhead, and out yonder to Beckley and Raynell, doesn't it? Whosoever shall call, shall what? Join the church? No. Be baptized? No. Walk an aisle? No. Call. Watch it now. Here's an important word. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Now, what's in a name? The name of the Lord. Well, a person's name identifies him. You notice while I'm preaching, every once in a while they'll put a little caption down underneath the picture. Have you seen it? Henry Mahan. Well, when you see that name down on the bottom of that screen, Henry Mahan, well, you know who that is. This is my 807th telecast, over 800. Some of you have heard a lot of them. And so I mentioned Henry May, and you know who that is. Name identifies me, you see. When you use the name, you know who's spoken of whom we speak. Well, the name of the Lord. Whosoever should call on the name of the Lord identifies who he is. See, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This name identifies who he is. The name of the Lord. He's the Lord, the sovereign Lord. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's his name. That's who he is, the sovereign Lord. He said, I am. Moses said, whom shall I say has sent me? He said, you tell him I am. The Lord Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am, he, you'll die in your sins. He's a sovereign Lord. He's Jesus, Son of Man, the God-man, Jesus. Call his name Jesus. Unto Mary shall be born a son. Call his name Jesus, which is interpreted God with us, Emmanuel. And he's the Christ. See, the name tells me the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God. Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Every Old Testament type, pattern, prophecy, promise, picture fulfilled in him. Moses wrote about him. Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. And the scripture said when Isaiah saw his glory, he spake of him. That's who I'm talking about. There's no difference. There's no difference. Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, there's no difference. Well, I'm a Jew. Well, I'm a Protestant. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm something else. We're nothing. That's what we are. In the sight of God, there is no difference. All have sinned. None worthy, all unworthy. No merit. Almighty God shows mercy to whom he will, and he's rich unto mercy, in mercy to all who'll call on him. There's no difference. Nobody merits it or earns it. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Now here's a sure word. Shall be saved. Oh, I tell you, I love the shalls and the wills of God's word. Don't you? All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will not cast out. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, shall be saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? His honor is engaged to keep the weakest of his sheep. Whosoever shall call on the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Now, look at verse 14. Now, here's what I was talking about a while ago. Here's the great importance of preaching. Preaching. And there's so little real preaching today. There's a lot of singing, a lot of entertainment, a lot of healing, and a lot of whoop-de-doo going on, but not much preaching. And here's the importance of preaching and hearing and believing. Now watch this next verse, verse 14. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? A man can't trust an unrevealed Christ. A man cannot call upon one whom he does not know. So I ask, who is he? I tried to tell you, the sovereign Lord, Son of God, Son of Man. What did he do? He wrought out a perfect righteousness and died on a cross as our substitute. Why did he do that? In order that God may be just and justified. Where is he now? At the right hand of God. And Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? Now what's the next question? And how are they going to believe on him and trust him and look to him and call on him and rest in him if they've never heard of him? If they've never heard of him in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of yourself. You're hearing it now. You're hearing it. I know a lot of people say, well, I just love that good singing. Well, let me tell you something. I like good singing too. But it takes the preached word to save a sinner. We've got to hear the word, who God is and what we are and who Christ is and what he did and why he did it. You see, how shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? And listen, the next question. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Now, the Lord God has always had his true preachers. Paul said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Necessity is laid upon me. I must preach the gospel. Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Oh, for more gospel preachers, men who will stand and preach, preach, preach Christ. How are they going to hear without a preacher? And then how are they going to preach except they be sent? God sent Peter to Cornelius. He sent Paul to Lydia. He sent Philip to the eunuch. And He sent me to you with this good news, these glad tidings of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody came to John the Baptist and said, who are you? He said, that doesn't matter. I'm just a voice. A voice is not important. What the voice says is important. The messenger is not important. The message is important. The one about whom we preach. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And what a blessing is ours here on this program, here in this day, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you hear? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, there's salvation in that name, shall be saved. But how are they going to call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are we going to preach except the Spirit of God sends us? Now here's a sad note. Verse 16. But they haven't all obeyed the gospel. All men will not hear. All men will not believe. But some will. So then, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. May God give you faith to believe. You want this message on tape? I'll send it to you. Send $2. You have this message and another message on the other side. Until next week, may God bless you, everyone.